This is CliffCentral.com. Pan-African Connect on CliffCentral.com.
It is Monday afternoon. The time is 3 p.m. My name is Rosie Mutena, a.k.a. the Afro-Yiddish Princess. Welcome to my show called Pan-African Connect, where we can connect to all beautiful people, traditions, cultures, interesting artifacts, but only from our wonderful continent. And today, for the first time ever, actually, we're going to Swaziland. And in the studio, I have two phenomenal, phenomenal artists who are doing very, very well, obviously, in their own countries. They're doing very well on the Pan-African scene. We're going to talk about their music. We're going to talk about their inspiration, where they're going, and the state of the music industry in Swaziland. But before we get into it, we've got to start with this.
Yeah, uh-huh, you know what it is.
Show. The time is 3 minutes past three. My name is Rosie Mutena, a.k.a. the Afro-Yiddish Princess. Welcome to my show titled Pan-African Connect. Of course, if you want to hit me up on Twitter, my handle is PrincessRTM. And of course, we're also on Twitter under CliffCentral.com. As I said before, I went into my music interlude. Today, we're focusing on Swaziland. And in studio, we have a phenomenal, phenomenal artist by the name of Boloja and Velem Seni, both from Swaziland. Welcome, welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Let me just give you a brief little biog on Boloja, who's very gifted. He's humble, celebrated young musician from Africa's southern kingdom known as Swaziland. He's also a rising symbol of the song, art, and culture, and his greatest inspiration is Swaziland's tradition and way of life. I like that introduction about you very, very, you find that the tradition and culture are very, very rooted in your music. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I guess it's the environment that I grew up, you know, in, and mostly my music relates, you know, to what has been happening around me.
Yeah.
And, you know, being in Swaziland and in the rural areas of Swaziland, you know, I've been inspired a lot about, you know, the Swazi life, which...
For somebody who's... Because these are podcasts all around the world. Give us a breakdown of what is a typical Swazi way of life.
I can say we dedicated more into our culture, you know, as you know, rip dance, kudumhlanga, there's ingwala, where the men get together. And
what happens in a ceremony like that?
That's where, you know, men get there to sort of like sibaya to, you know, pray for the country. You know, we're seeing, and that's where issues of the country are being articulated, you know. Mm. And, you know, you find out, like, a way of overcoming, you know, things that are a challenge, you know, to the country.
Mm.
And it's a way of also, you know, keeping what we have and not losing it, you know, bringing us together and make sure that we still know who we are, you know, and we still, you know, very intact with into our culture. Yeah.
You know what's so beautiful about Swaziland, and I suppose to a certain extent it's also like that in KwaZulu-Natal, is that the kingdom itself, the royal lineage is still very, very prominent. And also the traditional dress is carried on all the way down. So if you're walking down the streets of Johannesburg, you're more than likely going to see somebody wearing stuff from Woolworths and Edgar's. But when you're in Swaziland, you know when you're going to be faced with a Swazi person. And I think it's absolutely beautiful. Why? How have you guys managed to keep that strong sense of identity and culture? Let's hear from a man's point of view. and then we'll go to the lady.
Okay. I think for us it's not really, you know, we're just one nation.
Mm.
And, you know, the only two prominent languages, you know, that it's the Swati and English.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is no, like, really clashing of, you know, nationalities, because sometimes it's good, you know, to unite, because you find that if maybe, for instance, here, like, hey, I'm in Ndebele, and then also somehow Zulu, I'm still in South Africa.
Yeah.
I think it outstands most because, you know, if you... there's no other way of combining. You just have to, if you're wearing that attire, just a Swazi, you know, like that. And there is no other influence, you know, on the side. Maybe that you'll see me wearing something else, which then now will sort of dilute what, you know, the core Swazi, you know, traditional attire. But it's either you are on your Western, you know, dress code, or you are in a Swazi gear.
It's really beautiful. Valerie, you've recently come into the industry, and when I say recently, you know, 5 to 10 years is still very, very young. How did you get involved into this crazy, wonderful industry?
I actually started a little bit into the hip hop realm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always have that girl singer in the background. That was me. But I've always been involved in music. High school, primary school, I've been in every choir that the school, you know, made available. I studied music in college. I have a BA.
Fantastic.
In music,
Bachelor
of Arts. So I've always been involved in some way.
And how would you best describe your style of music?
You know, it's still growing, so it's evolving. But I think some of my primary influences are you know, that contemporary rock sound. I'm very much into soul, the 60s kind of Motown, you know, sometimes here and there, and definitely African rhythms and Swazis.
Do you play any African any instruments?
I play a little bit of piano and guitar.
Okay, fantastic. Yep. And Abolodja, tell me, what instruments besides the guitar do you play?
Well, I can play traditional music instrument, which is makoya, and I can play stolotolo, you know, the mouth harp, boo 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 boo.
Oh, wow!
So
And did you? How did you learn that? Because I mean, those skills aren't something that you go to school for. Was it entrenched in your upbringing?
Yeah, you know, professionally I've done mechanical engineering. At TUT, which is it was TNG by then, so Shanguve.
Yeah.
And music has been just a side thing, you know. Yeah. I never took like went to classes, you know, formal, you know, for it. I've been learning one or two chords from there.
Yeah.
If I see you playing a chord, then please can you teach me that chord?
Oh,
it
wow.
has been like that.
That's exactly how Kunle learned.
And you know what?
Yeah.
To my surprise, Kunle is teaching me other chords.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So, it has been like that. The music has been always in me, you know, since I've been singing in church.
Mm-hmm.
But the most instrument that has been taking me, you know, is the guitar.
Yeah.
So it is like, I'm learning even from her.
Yeah.
Because, okay, at least now she's from school, she's teaching me the you know, the African guy.
Yeah.
But, I seem to get along with it, yeah.
Yeah. And one of the main things that you do talk about in some of your music that you get involved in, which is an epidemic which stretches across the continent, but predominantly in Swaziland, is the HIV epidemic. Mm. How are you using your art and your music to create awareness for that?
There are songs that I compose specially, you know, for such things as HIV and AIDS, and I've been involving myself, you know, through the help of American embassy sponsoring mm-hmm. me, you know, to tour schools around Swaziland.
Oh wow!
You know, mostly motivating them, mm-hmm. you know, to believe in themselves and achieving their goals, and also, you know, how to take care of themselves in terms of healthiness, you know, because HIV is, we know that it's a pandemic disease that is really facing Africa.
Yeah.
And, you know, we address those issues, and I bring along some organizations, you know, as well, like members, you know, for, you know, to kind of like answer the questions that maybe the school children will be like pausing at the time. But yeah, it's mostly about, you know,
The work that you're doing, is it welcomed? Because I know that in the beginning, when people wanted to talk about these issues, specifically when it comes to school children, there was a lot of stopping and a lot of people trying to stop it from the different schools. Is it open knowledge? Are you allowed to actually just go into the schools without any people opposing it, opposition?
Yeah, of course we have to have a permit from the Minister of Education.
Mm-hmm.
It's edutainment at the same time. We don't really, you know, it's high time we tell the truth, we face the truth, you know, as Africa.
Yeah.
You know, and because if you keep on hiding things, then that's when, you know, Africa will get lost.
Mm.
But if we want to build up and be a better nation in the future, we have to start, you know, telling the truth. These guys must know. We have to know, you know, from the young one up to the elders. We have to know about what is happening in our lives now, because it will take them by surprise. So we have to address these issues early. But we look at the way we are addressing them. You know, I think that's the most important. Something at their level. Mm. We use the very same music that I play, you know, sing along with them and encourage them not to sleep, you know, at their early ages. They must finish school, they must study, focus on their
I'm liking about what you're telling me, that it's not just going in and just speaking to the girls or just speaking to the boys. You know, where a lot of programs, when they started in South Africa, is always just aimed at, okay, well, guys, you need to wrap up. But at the same time, it's also women need to take responsibility for those actions, you know. And is that received that the epidemic is a dual problem? Is that well received?
It is well received. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember there's so many responses from, you know, newspapers. The kids, they write to the newspaper, local newspaper in Switzerland, and say, you know, thank you. Because the key thing here is to build the mind.
Yeah.
You know, you don't talk much about the pandemic and what. Yes, it's there. It's as a highlight.
Mm.
But you must, you know, teach them to focus.
Yeah.
And you tell them the things that can distract them, you know, or maybe move them from focusing.
Yeah.
You know. If you want to achieve your goal, this is what you do, this is what you do, you avoid 1, 2, 3.
Mm.
And basically it's that. And we do that, you know, also we sing together the songs.
Yeah.
The special, you find that we compose just an anthem that we're going to sing together.
Yeah.
You know, this one, and they enjoy. And we don't like, you know, there to tell them, we'll say, AIDS will kill you.
Yeah,
because already there are students there, you know, maybe who have been affected in one way or another.
You don't know what the situation is on the ground. Yeah,
so you have to be very careful on how you analyze those things. You must tell them, this is how, guys, you can avoid 1, 2, 3. And also, should you be, you know, on this side of things, then it doesn't mean it's the end of the road.
Yeah.
You can still achieve your goals. Mm. You can still do better. You can still, you know, be a good example. You can still be yourself.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Let's move to your music. Your first ever recorded album.
Yeah.
What was going on in your life before we even get to the actual part of the music? Because when you look at an artist and you see their first piece of work and their second piece, it's always influenced about what's been happening in there every single day.
Yeah, yeah. What do you have? It's Okay, I grew up listening to country and western music. I grew up listening to country and western music in Swaziland. Then, you know, like I told you, firstly, you know, earlier on that I've been listening. I love guitar.
Yeah.
Anything that has to do with guitar. So I followed Tracy Chapman, Jonama Trading, Vusma Hlasela in South Africa.
Mm.
Then I went to Eric Clapton and so forth. And Yusondo, Angelique Kidjo, Kajanin, Jonathan Butler, a lot of, you know, that influence.
Yeah.
But then I've been singing these songs and I said to myself, I'm Swazi, you know, and there's no music out there that is being sang in Siswati.
Mm.
I should be proud, you know, of who am I. I've learned, you know, from the other nationalities, you know, like I've just mentioned, from the other musicians.
Mm.
They've been doing it and they're doing it in their own language. Then yeah. Why not me? Because why not Swaziland? You know, then I started to believe in myself and believing in what God has given me. And with no doubt, you know, God has been faithful. And I realized that, you know, it's not about where you are, what situation you are in, which country do you come from. It's about believing in yourself and bringing change to yourself.
Mm.
You can achieve whatever you want that you want to achieve. So music took off, you know, and also it's very
important to, when you're going to start with something, you know, rather start in your own backyard.
Yes.
Start spreading the word to the people that you know, where it's common ground to you.
Mm.
And what was the response from people within Swaziland hearing? I mean, you have the most, and I'm going to play one of your songs, but you have the most beautiful melodic voice, and it's got such a beautiful message that comes through every piece of your music. So, what was the response to people from Swaziland?
Taking from what, not what, I say, but from what I've been hearing from them, they were proud that finally there's somebody who is going global in terms of the language. In Siswati, because it, all along it has been. You must remember also that Swaziland is just a small country, you know. And whatever that you experiencing in South Africa in terms of music, also, you know, that's the same thing that we are playing in Swaziland. So it's like the no borders we are seeing in South Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, obvious. If I hear Mandoza, Kalagata, I will sing in Sizulu. You know, if I hear Vusma Hlasela, so you know, you tend to adapt to that language. You know, because you know they overshade, overcrowd. You know that. But since I started, there are a lot of musicians now in Swaziland that are singing in Siswati. You know, a lot. Even the hip hop guys, you know, a gospel.
Mm.
You know,
what is the gospel scene like in Swaziland? Because it's really it's
dominant.
It's dominant in
our country. I think because I mean Christianity, we're a Christian country officially, so definitely gospel music is number one.
Yeah. And okay, let's move into other collaborations, because I mean I've read on your bio that you've performed with Tony Cox, you've performed with Oliver, obviously with Freshly Ground, Hugh Masekela. Which out of those performances have been your most memorable ones?
That's the then is by grace of God, you know, I've opened up for great musicians. You know, in South Africa, you know, quite a lot.
Mm.
Ringo, Jimmy, you know, Jimmy Zuzu, I've collaborated with them on stage with Judith Sepuma.
Oh, wow.
Hugh Masekela composed a song, a tribute to Miriam Makeba. We've done that together.
Mm.
I've opened up for Salif Keita in France, Angelique Kidjo, you know, a lot of...
Some of the dons of Africa.
Yes, so I was lucky to be discovered by the Alliance Française in Swaziland. In 2007, mm-hmm. I think, 2007, if not 2008. And they're starting to take me, you know, they believe in what I was, but, you know, the craft was very rough by then.
Mm.
But what I like most is that it was original.
Yeah.
So they wanted
and
to nature
but there's
that,
nothing,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with when something, when it's so raw and rough, because that's true sense. Before you taint it by the West, it's in its pure sense, which is so beautiful.
Yeah. But I guess in this case, it was all about, you know, I would like nervous, you know, when I was playing, not used to a crowd, and also, you know, I wouldn't know when to put a bridge where, you know, those kind of things.
Right,
just fixing a few things there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in terms that runners is really pure and, you know, professional, professional. So they took me to a competition in 2009, which has discovered also Asa from Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
And also Karis Forso from Cameroon. And in 2009, because Asa was 2007, Cameroon, and from Cameroon, that's Karis Forso,
mm-hmm.
2008. Myself, it is a competition around Africa, hosted by Culture France. They call it Visa Pola Casio.
Mm.
So it's the best up and African, or best up and coming African artist. So I won the one for 2009,
mm-hmm.
and then they started, you know, like promoting me in France in terms of workshopping me with, you know,
getting you exposed to that other. Because I want to talk about that, because your last album, if I'm not mistaken, was produced in France.
Yes, yeah. Actually, that's my first album, and the other one is still coming.
Okay.
And I had a demo as well. So it is in all of my albums. My first, I've been doing them in France.
Yeah.
In this years.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the song 6 Days. He laughs.
Yeah. I know.
Wow. Yeah. What are we missing out on there?
No, you said that. Okay. That one is has been a project.
Yeah.
Wamakoko number 43.
Mm.
You know the reason why I'm laughing is because it's politics and I'm not a politician. You know, there's a book that was written by Elias Masilela.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the struggle in in South Africa, because the first country that, you know, could escape, you know, the comrades or the guys from South Africa, was Swaziland, you know.
Yeah.
So in Swaziland, they were welcomed by Gwamakoko, you know, which is home number, it's Gwamakoko number 43, it's house number 43 at Trelawney Park.
Yeah.
So this book talks about that whole, you know, movement and, you know, during the target. And then from there, it was ANC, you know, I'm very, when it comes to politics.
Yeah.
So you can see it was just a project, but it was ANC and also, what's that? Okay, anyway, they fled to Mozambique and also to Bulgaria, Tanzania. You know, so what I did there, because there's a book that was written by this guy.
Yeah.
They asked me to, because of they've heard my music, that I tell a story.
Yeah.
And they asked me if I can do something, you know, for them in terms of, you know, like telling the story.
Like a musical
Somebody
journey.
Highlighted that to me.
Wow.
And then I proposed to them that I can do it, not merely because I'm a politician, but merely because I want to write about what has happened, you know, also in my country, and also what is... how has been my country be helpful, you know, to help South Africa as well. It's about knowing where you come from and the history of Swaziland. So I did, you know, that album. So that song, 6 Days, is taken from a part of that book. It's just chapter. Yeah, it talks about Elias, who was, you know, being hunted, maybe. By the whites from South Africa, we put like that.
Yeah. The old apartheid government,
So, oh yeah, thank you.
let's be politically correct.
I'm only a musician.
No, the thing is that, you know, musicians and artists are never only. We have the power to transcend so many messages, and that's what you've been
you're
doing.
Right,
But let's take a listen to the song. This is Bologa, 6 Days.
Thank you. yo vaga shella manume alpan nang general akmela utsinga sitolwa ke kushayeni moto ayishayem dilaisen iye umale galo mahashe boda general akatan tuli highway wawela ngetinyawo ema boys am gonna get you.
I was never brave. I was young, out of control. Drinking, drowning, brewing the storm. I was never brave. Bengigwala. Buckled, crawled, crashed. I was never brave. Just another sister sinking into the shadows. If only someone had stepped in, pulled me out. That's why I became the mentor I wish I'd had. Help under 18 say no to alcohol. Sign up at sabstories.co.za. Hashtag be the mentor. A South African Breweries initiative.
At iStore, we love Apple stuff, but we're only human. Sometimes we drop our iPhones on the road, face down, and it makes us sad. That's why we came up with iCare Plus, a nifty little product exclusive to iStore for when stupid things happen to good people with awesome phones. It'll have your beloved iPhone covered for water, screen, and physical damage. So come to iStore. Why would you go anywhere else? Visit myistore.co.za for more info. T's and C's apply.
Christmas is on the way, and so is the happiest family event of the year, the Parkview Charity Christmas Market at the George Hay Park in Parkview from the 27th to the 29th of November. The Christmas Market is a weekend of fun, unique arts and crafts, brilliant gift ideas, kids' fun galore, big screen sports, a beer tent, and a champagne and oyster bar with continual live music. Parkview Christmas Market, for a great time, with all proceeds going to charity.
Pan-African Connect on cliffcentral.com.
Welcome back to the show. The time is 15:31, and in studio I have Swaziland's best, Boloja and Velum Seni. Am I correct? Am I saying your name right?
You are.
What does Velum mean?
Well, Velum Seni is my full name. Okay. It's Siswati slash Zulu, however you want to sing it.
No. We're punting Swaziland. So okay.
So it's Siswati. Yeah. And it means, you know, Ngavela Emuseni.
Yeah.
By grace.
Oh, beautiful.
Appear by the grace of God.
Yeah, so God chose your name right, because it is shining through you at the moment.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Thank you.
Blessings all around. Mm. Let's talk about your debut album, We Are All People.
Yes.
What's the inspiration behind it?
I think it's actually quite relevant to your show. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of, Pan-Africanism, or just the whole global citizen frame of mind. Mm. I think, you know, when times are this dark, sometimes, you know, with the terror and Swaziland's in a drought, I know parts of South Africa as well, going through a bad drought.
Yeah,
we all need to pull together, and we all tend to pull together when we're struggling and come with one message. Yeah. And so,
I mean, Swaziland has been doing that for such a long time, to a certain extent Lesotho, to a certain extent Botswana.
Mm.
But I mean, as you were saying before we went on the break, is that a lot of people, when they went into exile, the first port of call was Swaziland.
Swaziland.
And you guys opened the doors for us and hid people, and you know what I mean?
Mm.
Really, really part of the struggle. So your sense of Ubuntu has always been incredibly powerful.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
doing the same thing.
And that's why, you know, when the xenophobic violence broke out again, and there's still xenophobia in South Africa, it's embarrassing for me as a South African,
right?
Because of how the rest of Africa opened their doors for us. You know what I mean? And how has that transcended into music that's happening within the Swaziland scene? I know it's very, very small, but I mean, you should. Besides you guys, I'm sure there are a couple more other key players in the industry.
Yeah, there are. I think, you know, the fact that, I guess, we're one tribe historically, that's how we've managed to maintain peace more than maybe other, you know, parts of this region. I think now we're coming into our own as an industry. You know, we're loving Swaziness, we're loving our culture, we want to put it out there to the world, because there's not much, we don't have much of a voice internationally. And it's our time. So I think the industry is starting to get some fat in there.
And stepping up to the plate, which is really exciting.
Yeah, because I also think it's a Swazi thing. You know, Swazis tend to be, we don't like making noise. You know, we're very respectful and humble. So music, like the music or entertainment, is very glitzy and in your face. So I think that's why we've kind of fallen back in terms of that. But we're coming into our own now, and, you know.
Yeah, but you're stepping up onto your own platform. So it's not, you're not trying to be Mandozas. You're not coming in and trying to, you're coming in with your own unique sound. And people are like, wait a minute.
Right.
What is that? what is that that we're hearing?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sorry, I have to ask this question because I'm a feminist, but how difficult has it been, if it has been at all, as a Swazi woman making it on the international, on the entertainment level?
Like I said, Swazis are very cultural.
Yeah.
So we think in a very traditional way.
Yeah.
So girls have a certain
way.
You know, there's no time to play guitar. You have to wash dishes. There's no time to play guitar. You have to go, I don't know, make tea for your uncles or something. You know. So.
But how have you handled that on a personal level?
I don't know if lucky is the word, but I've lived in a world where I've been allowed to be
beautiful.
Myself in that way. You know, my mom is very supportive, so she's made sure I've been able to have my playground and play around in that and develop my art and all of that.
Beautiful.
So,
Yeah. And what's next? I mean, what do you want to do? I mean, you guys are in SA at the moment, and you obviously going to be doing a couple of gigs, and I'll put that up on my Facebook page and everything. But what is your let's start with you. What is your ultimate goal for the next 5 to 10 years in terms of your music industry? Where would you like to see your brand going?
I think I want to first primarily represent Swaziland.
Yeah.
You know how the UK, the United Kingdom flag is a like a fashion thing?
Yeah.
You know, I'd like for our culture to be that well recognized and in the world.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of important things to say. I think Swazi culture is so deep and so genuine. It cannot get lost in history. And I think as globalization kind of moves forward and propels, it's bleeding into our culture. And I don't want to be in that generation that lets our Swazi culture go. Honestly, yeah, it is really beautiful. So important and so beautiful. Yeah. The world needs to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd like to be a voice for that.
Well, I mean, if you look at the actual kingdom itself, and what's so beautiful is that if you look at the pictures that are taken, you can automatically see when somebody comes from Nigerian royalty, you can automatically see when it comes from KZN Zulu royalty, and automatically when it comes from Swaziland.
Yeah.
So in terms of who you are and what you stand for is recognized around the world, you know, and I think that's something definitely to be proud of. Mm. How did you guys meet?
Well, well, we met at
United World College.
Waterford
Gumtlaba, which actually is
one of the most famous colleges.
Yeah,
that's, yeah.
It played quite a role in the whole movement.
And a lot of children were educated there, and also in terms of the level of education, it still is one of the highest in the Southern Hemisphere. So
I went to high school there.
Okay,
and I think were you a guitar teacher there?
I was a guitar teacher,
mm-hmm.
not teaching them, teaching basics, you know, like practicals, you know, basic chords. And she was one of the students. That was after I finished my diploma,
right,
mechanical
right.
engineering. So I went there and worked for 2 days. And I realized this is not me. I have to find myself now. You know. So one of the key things that I did, I just went to Waterford, you know, just to teach music there, which is guitar. And she was there singing, and you know, we've been helping each other, because now she's helping me.
Yeah,
I'm caught up with him now.
Yeah. So I've been helping her, you know, in terms of also, you know, hooking her up with, you know, the promoters, and also the Michels, and also the producers in France and so forth, so that they help as well. In terms of.
So because you see, like I think that's also that's really beautiful, because not only are you creating beautiful music, but you're also acting as that mentor, you know. And I think, especially because our industry is just so volatile and can be incredibly dangerous, that if you don't have somebody looking out for you, can get lost in the cracks. And we can see that. It's happened with actors, with musicians, with artisans who've either gone the drug route, who have gone the alcohol route, purely because it's that void. And, and if you don't have that creative spirit, people are like, well, you know, just get over yourself. No, actually, if you're in that creative spirit and you aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know what I mean? It can get to you. And there are many days when it's dark, because, you know, people don't realize it's not on the first of every month, we're not getting money put into our salaries, you know. You know. But I want to start off playing just one of your songs, Willem.
Okay.
And then but you guys bought your guitars.
We did.
Ah, yeah. They're true musicians. So we're gonna be treated to that. But I just want my audience to get a feel of this phenomenal, phenomenal songstress.
Ah, thank you.
It's the warmth of your smile.
beautiful, beautiful sounds by Velimseni. I told you guys. I told you. Did you hear how fantastic that songstress is? I mean, you really are blessed.
Thank you so much.
Incredibly, incredibly blessed. So now I've got them in studio. They both got their guitars. It's the first time that I've actually gotten musicians to bring their guitars in. What are you going to play for us? Hey Mama.
Yes. Okay. This is the song we wrote together. Mm-hmm. You know.
And where were you in your lives when you wrote the song?
I don't know. It's a love song, so not
okay.
there, but
okay,
inspired by other stories, I guess, you know. The singer telling their mom that they've fallen in love.
Oh, beautiful. So, you know. Okay, that's a different type of love story.
Yes, yeah, very fuzzy. Like
traditional.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, let's go for it.
The first time I saw you around, I told my mama that I've fallen in love. The first time I saw your face, I knew that I've fallen in love. Hey, hey, Mama, hey, I've fallen in love, I've fallen in love. Hey, hey, Mama, hey, I've fallen in love, I've fallen in love. The first time I wrote you a song, I knew that I've fallen in love. And when it felt like you could do no wrong, I knew that I'd fallen in love. Hey, Mama, hey, I've fallen in love, I've fallen in love. Hey, hey, Mama, hey, I've fallen in love, I've fallen in love.
Milona singanisa milese inhlitiyo yami yathokoda ngaye ngiyamthanda umuntu wamilona singanisa milese inhlitiyo yami yathokoda ngaye ngiyamthanda.
Woo! Okay, yeah, we deserve a big round of applause in the studio. My word. I've fallen in love.
Yeah, man.
Guys, that is beautiful.
Thank you.
No, the world needs to hear your voice. Voices.
The world needs more love.
Yeah. And to hear your music and how it's, I mean, that song can transcend into anything. You know, even, and I'm sure it's, at some point you will, but even if you sing it in your own language, the message will still come across.
Right.
It's incredibly beautiful.
Thank you.
Who's on your wish list to collaborate with?
Oh,
she says it. Her eyes go wide.
I'm seeing everybody. Can I bring them back to life?
Yes, please do.
I mean, okay, Aretha's still alive. Yeah. I don't know. I think just being around her would be enough. I'd probably pass out. Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
Oliver Mtukudzi, Polocha. Yeah. I'm really, really blessed to be. You have no idea. Yeah. It's like working with, I don't know, maybe if I was South Africa, if I lived here, I'd be working with Hugh.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal to work. So I'm appreciating it right now.
Yeah.
For as long as I can hang on to him.
I don't know about that, but okay. Yeah.
But what? How good. Different is it? Because I mean, you've worked heavily in France on your work. How different is it working on there as opposed to working in Africa?
You know, the lot of, you know, when you think of France, you think of France.
Mm.
But you know, in the music industry in France, a lot of African musicians.
Yeah.
All over the
thriving.
World.
But it's Africans along the art sector in general.
Yes, so most of them. Yeah. Most of them, yes. And maybe, of course, sports, soccer and something. Mm. But mostly it's all about, you know, arts, music, you know. Because the local Kansas are there.
Yeah.
The certificate is like going to baseline, you just see him crossing the streets, you know, going to rehearse at the same place. All the people that you want to see when you're this side, you know, all of them are there, most of them. And, you know, France is like welcoming them.
How come France has gotten it right, but Africa hasn't? I mean, you know, because if you think about it, majority of artists thrive. Yusuf Ndour, everyone thrives when it comes to the French scene. And then only when they come back to the continent, people are like, oh, okay, yeah, you're good enough type of thing.
Because I think we have an inferiority complex. So sometimes you need to go abroad and be recognized there before you can be recognized at home. Because there's this concept, what is it? There's this view that, you know, a Western opinion is maybe more important.
Also we need to change it.
I think also we haven't come to a point of believing in what God has given us. I always relate to myself because I've seen that happening, the power of believing in yourself. You know, after finishing that mechanical engineering, it's like I start my friends working for BMW telling me they are now earning, you know, 20,000, have got car allowances, medical aid and so forth. And I had to start my life from scratch. And I knew I was kind of like ignoring this music, you know, but because of the influence around that, you know, arts, you know, when you're playing music, you know, you won't make it, blah, 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 and so forth. And you have to be a doctor, you have to be an engineer.
But if you got that talent and that passion itches you, I know.
It's like
you can sit behind a cushy job with all the fancy cars, but if you're not being creative.
Of course. Right. In one way or the other, you have to be truthful in who you are. And once you discover that, then you have to believe in yourself. And I've seen the power of believing in yourself. Because I moved from, you know, one level, and today I'm here. If it wasn't of that, then I wouldn't be here, you know, talking to you. All along I've been seeing, you know, Roz, you know, on my television somewhere, and ahead of you from, you know, the same radio station, Cliff Central. It's the power of believing. And as Africans, we have the time we believe in what God has given us, in our craft, so that they buy into what we have. How I wish, you know, I could also raise my afro and a white, you know, a Westernese come to buy my, you know, just like we buy, you know, just like we buy Brazilian hair.
I love
you know,
it.
How
like
I wish.
In an ideal world, and bro, he would love because that. he would love that.
Oh, yeah, because he's the no.
For me, I'm not saying there's something wrong about it.
But it would be beautiful.
But, you know, it would be nice to see somebody, you know, buying my hair because I've got, you know.
Because they think it's beautiful and they want to bring it to themselves.
And you got
and I sell to them for 2,000 as well.
What do you mean 2,000? You belong to me. You can start off at 5,000.
Hey.
But it's so true because of that perception. I mean, I was reading an article today on the amount of international stars, entertainment stars from across Africa. Who 5 years ago were beautifully rich, dark skin, and now they're like pale and looking sick because they want to look lighter. And we need to change that perception. And I love what you said about believing in carrying on the Swazi tradition. You want to be part of that culture that doesn't let it slip. You know, we got to go, we got to get back to the drawing board where little girls are like, well, I want to be like that one, but not because she's got a weave or she's light in skin, but because she's rich and dark African skin, you know what I mean? And entrenched in your music.
I think I've been blessed to look the way I am for listeners. I'm very dark, you know, and I've got quite strong African features. I think I can use that as a
But if you look at some of the artists that you mentioned before, everyone who's been on the platform is specifically West African. You know, they've stood up as themselves. Angelique Kidjo.
She's an obvious inspiration.
Just powerhouse. Powerhouse.
Yes, completely.
You know, when she walks into a room, you feel her energy.
And that's that's our African beauty. I think, I don't know, I've noticed a contrast maybe. Like Western culture is quite a delicate feminine beauty. And we're starting to lose our like beauty and strength. I think that's what our culture represents most. I think we need to hang on to that.
And just stand firm.
Yeah,
you know, because also now finally the rest of the world is looking up and realizing that Africa is actually quite sexy. You know what I mean?
I mean, hey.
And so this is our platform to say, yes, we know it's sexy, but also you cannot take it away again.
Also, I think what is important is, on the side, I don't think there's nothing much wrong about, you know, transforming and stuff. But you must know yourself, who you are. You must know where you come from, and don't lose that with you. You know, because if you can talk about, you know, that come on, I also want to wear Nike. I don't want to wear my sandals. You know, I want to, you know, get civilized. But get deep into me. I'll tell you exactly where am I, where I come from. I know, and if it's culture time, if it's that, you know, you celebrate that with a full passion because you're not ashamed of who you are, you know. So I think
and especially because of your industry where everything changes, where you got people gunning for you, you know what I mean? You can't, it's not an industry that you go into, you can trust everybody 100%. So when you get to those parts of your life and areas of life, and we all go through them, we can't deny that, but when you get to those parts of life, if you don't know where you're coming from, you're gonna get lost.
And like just on a basic level, like if you look at Swazi culture, it's very, I mean, probably African culture in general, I think it's very family oriented, orientated, and I think that's a good thing because the world is moving into a very kind of individual way of life, and that's giving way for things like depression, and I think that's why a lot of families split apart because there's no support from extended family. I think it's so important.
There's no core.
There's no core.
There's no core.
If you lose the core, you lose yourself.
Yeah, and with the diaspora, which is great.
Yeah.
Because we're getting exposed to the rest of the world, and the rest of the world is getting exposed to us.
Yes.
But we got to have something to come back to.
Yes.
Even if it's you sitting in your apartment in Detroit and you're missing home, you can go home and make your fufu, or sit and pray, or know where you come from, and then with those split seconds, like, okay, cool. I can carry on, you know, being who I need to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Message to the young female artists out there.
The world is completely your oyster. Be yourself. Be yourself. Because that's the thing that's the only unique thing you can give. There's nothing really new under the sun except what's inside of you.
Yeah.
Your soul, your spirit, your drive, your passion, your perspective, your worldview. So be completely yourself and
Love life.
Yeah, man.
Bolojo, message to young artists out there.
I can say, guys, keep on believing in yourself, and you can achieve whatever destiny you want to achieve. There is failure, but it's there for you as a learning curve.
Yeah.
So don't give up in life. Because don't take a rope, don't even go hang yourself. There is something more for you. Find it inside you and climb the ladder. It's hard, but you know, somewhere there, there is glory for you. Just keep on believing in yourself. Yeah.
And also because people with creativity are gifted.
Yeah.
So when you're down, use that feeling and that knowledge and that circumstance that you're in to find creativity in the work that you're doing.
Yeah.
Guys, it has been a pleasure. Oh. I'm going to be putting up your manager's details on my Facebook page because I know that you've got a couple of gigs coming up. Awesome. You're going to be playing hopefully at The Rock this week, if I'm not mistaken, which is really cool. And then Circle Lounge on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But all of the details will be up on my Facebook page. My Twitter handle is PrincessRTM. What is your Twitter handle?
My Instagram handle is the_VelumSydney. Yeah, it's probably the same Twitter.
Balotia, don't worry, follow me. He's somewhere on Twitter.
He's on Facebook.
I found him. But it's been an absolute pleasure. Please tune in next week. We're going to be going to another beautiful part of our continent, discussing tradition, culture, and of course, music. It has been an absolute pleasure. See you next time. It is out for me from the Afro-Yiddish Princess.
Pan-African Connect on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.